Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries and schooled by Dirtfish Rally. Man, talk about a weekend that I had. I don't know about you guys, but kicked this weekend off with myself and my wife and my daughter. And we were in Nitro Circus, in Phoenix, and talk about one heck of a show. We'll get into that later on. We had Winter X Games going off. We had the season kickoff for Rally America at Snowdrift going off. Just tons to talk about. Not only that, but I mixed in trophy truck testing over the weekend with a brand new bullet in my number 15 trophy truck. And man, I don't know. It was a heck of a weekend for me. Lots of stuff on TV. We had, 24 hours of Daytona for you road racing fans. And once again, we had X Games on and Winter X, and we're getting ready for the Olympics coming up. Action Motorsports star Nick Baumgartner, he qualified for Sochi on a snowboard over the weekend. So congrats goes out to Nick, who's making his way to Sochi here in a week or so. Be great if we get Nick on air sometime between now and then. I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't know how his training schedule is. But also, I told you we're going to be talking Olympics and talking the Jamaican bobsled team, because I just love bobsled racing. And big fan of the movie Cool Runnings from way back, and it's Cool Runnings 2.0. But talked about a week or so ago about the Jamaicans qualifying for Sochi and not having the money to make it. Well, the internet rose to the occasion to the tune of $120,000 and are sending the Jamaicans to Sochi. So the Jamaicans, they got their bid from, I guess they got their formal invite from the Olympic Committee, and they're heading to Sochi. They got $120,000 in their pocket. I guess the Jamaican Olympic Committee that handles the summer side of things, they kicked in to help out travel costs. So I don't know. They needed $80,000. They got $120,000 plus travel covered. It sounds to me like I don't know. There's some extra money there. I guess Jamaicans win a medal, they got plenty of money left over for a party. But I don't know. It's got me excited. I'm looking forward to Sochi. Like I said, I'm a quote unquote Olympic geek, and definitely looking forward to that. We got calling in here in just a few minutes. We got none other than Robbie Pierce, trophy truck racer, owner of Impact Race Products and Mastercraft Safety. He's going to be calling in. He's the title sponsor of the Best in the Desert Parker 425 that's coming up here this weekend. And so we're going to have him calling in, and we're going to talk all about the Parker 425, Best in the Desert, desert racing in general, maybe a little bit of, maybe some pavement racing, so to speak. But should be a great interview from a guy that, he sees the sport from all sides, the industry side and the driver's side, and always great to get his vantage point and see, how he feels motorsports have progressed in the past year or so. Been a while since we have Robbie on air, so I'm definitely looking forward to his call-in here in just a few minutes. And, man, other than that, we got a huge slam-packed Dirtfish Rally report. We've also got an interview with rally racer Ray Piloto, racing the Bilstein Southwest Regional Series. He's going to be calling in, and we've got a good interview with him lined up, and lots of GRC news. And I got to tell you, in our Dirtfish Rally Report, you're going to want to stay tuned. I had a chance backstage to talk with Travis Pastrana for 10 or 15 minutes. I know his plans, and I got to tell you, they're not public yet, all of them, but it's going to blow your mind. You definitely want to be tuned in for the Dirtfish Rally Report coming up here in about 30 minutes. But right now, it looks like we got my good friend Robbie Pierce calling in. Let's see if we can pick up Robbie.
Hey, how's everything? How you doing?
Well, everything's good on my end. From what I understand, you're still in Indy. How's the weather back there, buddy?
It's way too cold for the Southern California boy, that's for sure. I think I just when I pulled in, it was 5 degrees here. So Indy has taught me some awareness of things I really didn't concern myself with before, like seat heaters and remote start on the car are pretty valuable back here, that's for sure.
So I got a question. Do you guys there at Impact judge the weather in like suit layers? Say, you know, when it's hot outside, it's a single layer suit, but when it's below zero, we got to have a 5-layer suit on today.
Yeah, exactly. Or an SFI 20 suit when it's that cold, that's for sure. The thought has crossed my mind a couple times of throwing one of these, SFI jackets on, that's for sure. It's pretty cold back here. I've, like I said, never born and raised in Southern California, so I've never seen weather like this, but it takes some getting used to. We went out yesterday with JK's of Indiana on a little Jeep club and went to one of their meets. And, normally in Southern California, if it was, 25 degrees, somebody had been calling and canceling the deal, but they never even thought about it. So it was a great time to go out with those guys and see what Jeeping in Indiana is like.
Well, I got to tell you, I know you're racing the Best in the Desert Parker 425 presented by Impact here this week, and it's weather's supposed to be in the low 80s.
That would be nice. Everybody says here, I'm leaving here on a flight this evening, and everybody says I'm getting out just in time, so they're expecting negative degree weather tomorrow, so looks like I planned this one just about right.
Yeah, sounds like it. So let's talk a little bit about, desert racing in general. I mean, I know obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about Impact, your relationship with the Best of the Desert. But, the past year or two, I mean, how have you seen things change? It seems like to me, it seems like desert racing, at least with the media coverage and stuff, is really, I haven't seen it this way. And, we're probably talking mid-90s with ESPN and, in the original Trophy Truck Series. I mean, you've got the Martellis raising the bar with the Mint 400, and obviously Baja 1000 was on was on ESPN, and to me, how from the industry standpoint and the driver standpoint, I mean, how do you see desert racing?
Well, we're pretty excited about it, actually, and you're absolutely right. I haven't. We haven't seen it like this in years, and pretty excited about it. I thought the job that Bud did with the Baja 1000 coverage was excellent. I know he on an inside deal, he didn't have a lot of time to put that together, but I thought that was excellent coverage. And while a lot of people would probably want to see more buggies and more lower classes, I think they did an excellent job of packaging up what we do down there, and so the population can understand what it's all about, and also to spotlight what BJ did. That was a remarkable effort he did at that race. So I think it's great, and you're absolutely right. Best in the Desert has done a remarkable job of showcasing their races and raising the level of awareness. Matt at Mad Media, those guys over there, what they've done with the Mint 400, which has become just an absolute event, the race to be at, the event to attend, and if you don't, you feel like you've been left out, and I think that's raised the bar for everybody. I think that's raised the level of awareness for the Parker 425 as well as desert racing in general. So just very proud of those guys, what they've done. Matt has done an excellent job over Matt and his brother.
Yeah, I think they've definitely raised the bar, and it's kind of really showed everybody what I think a desert race could be. For the longest time, it was just a bunch of us going out and playing in the dirt, and they've literally created an event that spans almost a week now, and it's I think it really opened everybody's eyes to what could be with this sport when packaged properly.
Sure, absolutely. Well, desert racing, as we all know, is pretty tough to cover. You've got the distance and the logistics of it all, plus all the classes, and it's pretty hard to package that up into something that's presentable. I spent a lot of time yesterday keeping an eye on the Rolex 24, and even that, I mean, you almost had to have a program to try to understand what everybody was doing. So, and desert racing is no different with all the classes, and while you want to show some of those different classes, you've got to have something for people to latch onto and get behind, and those the trophy truck teams and unlimited teams are what you need to do that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's flash back a little bit, and we'll get on to more desert racing talk. But I do want to talk to you and touch base. Crandon, you went to Crandon. You ran at the house this past year. I mean, that had to have been exciting for you. I mean, this is, one of the biggest off-road races, on the planet, and you had the opportunity to run back there in the Pro 2. Tell us a little bit about what it's like and just the experience around Crandon and what it's like to actually take turn one, you know, in the heat of battle.
Oh, it absolutely incredible. To have that opportunity to do that, definitely a bucket list item, and we were fortunate enough to be able to do that. All of my heroes and all of my friends have, of course, run that race and talked about it, and I've been there several times. But to stand there in the stands and watch those guys, Johnny and Rob and Kurt LeDuc and everybody do race cranning is one thing, but to actually be able to experience was the ultimate dream. And the whole Crandon deal, the people there are just absolutely incredible. I was there a week earlier to practice and put some laps on the truck and just to get some wheel time and feel what it was like. And I got a call about noon and to ask how it was going. I says, I haven't been able to do anything. I says, why is that? I says, they keep trying to help us. No matter what we did, whether it was bringing us fuel or lunch or whatever it was, they were there. And it's just a great experience just to even be at Crandon. But there's nothing like turn one at Crandon. And I was sitting there ready to go off the line, second row back on the outside. And I was fortunate enough, Johnny had walked me through the whole course the previous week and what to expect. And for the first time, I've gotten to do quite a few neat things in my life. Go first off the line at the Baja 500 for the 40th anniversary, and I've never really gotten nervous. But I have to tell you that sitting there back there waiting to go off, I actually radioed the guys and I said, "This is a horrible idea." But to sit there with 22 other trucks and going to turn one is an absolutely incredible experience, and I wouldn't give it up for anything in the world, and I'll always have that. So we had a good weekend. We ran mid pack most of the week and I got to run the Challenge Cup on Sunday, and that was pretty cool too. So I got to race with Kurt in his last race there. Actually, we had a little side by side deal, and Kurt was very nice to me and didn't put me in any trees, and it was a great experience to be able to do that.
It sounds like, for anybody that hasn't been to Crandon, it just, that view and everything around it, and we're talking the big, we call it Fall Crandon, but it's just such a, I don't know, I mean, it literally has to be, to me, the marquee in motorsports in the United States. I mean, it really is to me, it's just an amazing venue, and everything about it's awesome.
It is, I think Matt said it. If you tried to plan Crandon out and put it all together and build the track and build it, you just couldn't do it. It's just something that's grown over the years, and that loyalty from the fan base that comes from all over the country there for that event is remarkable. I don't think you could plan and put that together and have it be as successful as it is.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit desert racing now. Obviously, we've got Parker 425 presented by Impact. So, let's talk a little bit about the 425. Obviously, you have sponsored, Select Race in the past. And how does the sponsorship of the 425 come about?
Well, Casey's been trying to get us involved in some way in the past, for whatever reason, it really just hasn't worked out. But this year, he came to me last year when we talked about it, and the opportunity came up to add a presenting sponsor to the Blue Water Parker 425, and it just really made sense. And for us as a company, it made sense because it's the first race of the season, the big race, and of course we want to have everybody getting geared up and not only their safety equipment but their seats and limit straps and window nets and all those items as well. So it's a great place for us to be there. We'll be there in full force with the semi and be able to take measurements for drivers wanting to get custom suits and take a look at helmets, and also to support our distributors there, PCI and Butch's and UPR, and everybody will also be there with their trailers and whatnot. So it's just a great venue for us to be a part of because it's the first race of the season. So and then I'm fortunate enough to get to race this race as well. the Will Statson is the trick truck number 42. Has raced over the last few years selected races. Parker's usually one of them, usually Silver State and Vegas Sereno. I'm trying to talk him into the Mint this year, so we can race that one as well. But he's been kind enough to let me, I think I'm actually going to qualify the truck and then start. So, and then he'll get in for laps two and three. But we're pretty excited to be such a big part of this race. Casey's just done a great job in building up this race and taking care of all of the racers and making this the event that everybody wants to start with. So I think this year's gonna be exciting. You know, there's some the big races that are coming up, and you know, I don't know if anybody's gonna stick with one particular you know, score or best in desert or whatever. I think there's people are going to pick and choose the races that they want to do, and I think it's going to be exciting. I think you're going to see some really big events this year.
Yeah, I agree. You know, talking with a lot of the guys and stuff like that, and I know with my program in particular, it's funny because it seems like this year in particular, the racers are finally speaking their minds, and you know, and there aren't the lines drawn for score or say best in the desert. It's just the racers are picking, you know, the marquee events that we all know that are there and you know, kind of going and running their own thing and almost creating like their own mini series, you know. And I think, you know, to me, that's kind of exciting. You know, the racers are finally have a voice.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what people are doing. I think, you know, this sport has gotten so expensive that we can't afford to just run every race or run, you know, in one particular division. And so we're picking and choosing, and you know, we want to be a part of the, you know, the big races. So of course there's the, you know, the 500 and the 1000 and the Mint and the Parker and Vegas Sereno, and I'm hoping that the 250 San Felipe 250 gets a good draw too. I think there's it might be tough for some people to race that and then turn around and race the Mint as well, but some exciting things happening this year.
Well, let's jump around and just talk a little bit about motorsports in general, not necessarily, you know, off-road, but, you know, how have you seen in the past couple of years, I mean, just motorsports in general, I mean, with the economy and everything else, you know, and it's coming back slightly, and, you know, how have you seen just motorsports in general change, and especially from the safety side of things? I mean, what do you see going on behind the scenes that are making these cars, you know, a lot safer?
Well, you saw it yesterday in the Rolex 24. I don't know if you saw the crash with Mimo. That was a horrific crash, and you know, I was very, very concerned about that. But looks like you know, as of yesterday evening, everybody was awake and alert and undergone some surgeries. I'm not sure if all the information's out, but you know, if you watched that crash, you wouldn't have thought anybody could survive. So, but you know, the focus on safety over the last few years is the bar has been raised, and I think, you know, a lot in desert racing. You know, we have the issue with the fire down in Mexico with Danny, and then even last year in the short course deal with Rob in the torque race catching on fire too. And I think it's just brought an awareness. If it can happen to Rob, it can happen to anybody. But in general, safety has really come to the forefront, which is absolutely great. The economy of the sport is, I think that's been the biggest surprise to me, being stuck in our little, what I call our little world of off-road, and then coming here to Impact and being able to look on the inside of NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, and find out that they struggle with the same things that our teams do. Trying to find funding, trying to put crews together, and put programs together and keep it. It's just on a different level. They struggle with the same things that we do. You know, over the last couple of years, some of them that have had secure sponsorships have had to scramble and to put packages together at the last moment. We're going into the Daytona right now, and we've got probably 5 to 10 teams that are sitting on the fence that we can't build suits for yet because they don't know what their sponsor packages are going to be. So the last 2 weeks of going into the Daytona 500 will be absolutely a hell here at Impact because we'll be scrambling. It'll be all hands on deck trying to get teams their gear for the start of that race.
Well, and here's a question. I mean, obviously, we just got done with the Rolex 24, and to me, by all intents and purposes, I mean, you know, obviously we had the crash, but, you know, a great event. And to me, road racing in the United States, it's really the past, you know, we can go back 5-10 years. It's kind of become non-existent other than, say, you know, Daytona. And I think, you know, I feel like with this new series, you know, and Grand Am and ALMS combining it, it seems like it's really, you know, kind of at a fever pitch. It's kind of got a foothold in the United States again. I mean, you know, you're on both sides. I mean, you know, do you feel like it may be having a resurgence here in the States?
Yeah, we think so, and the teams that we deal with believe that to be true as well. So, you know, if we can simplify it a little bit like they have, I think that will do nothing more than help. The other thing, you know, the other part that I think is helpful that we see promising is the GRC, and, you know, which I know you've been a part of too, and we're really excited about that. I think that'll bring be a great venue and attract some of the younger youth to that sport as well.
Well, and I think, you know, and I agree, you know, and I can talk GRC as much as anybody because I work with it. you know, to me, it's kind of, I think just, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, it really, I think the motorsports world, it kind of set back because I think GRC was kind of this, everybody knew about it. Everybody was aware. Everybody knows, you know, Pastrana, Block, Deegan, you know, all these guys are competing. You know, they've got the X Games, it's on ESPN, they've got this great TV package, but I don't know that, you know, a lot of people really, recognize the value, but then all of a sudden Andretti comes in, you know, and teams
exactly.
With this huge Andretti, and everybody goes, whoa, you know, you throw the name Andretti out there, and it's like if Andretti's involved with anything, it doesn't matter if it's Michael, Mario, you know, John, there's that name, and I think, you know, Michael Andretti coming into the series with a team, everybody goes, whoa, you know, what are we missing here? What does he know that we don't?
You know, exactly, and it gives it some instant legitimacy that it hasn't had previous, even though it had some great names in it. But you're absolutely right with him becoming part of it. It may be just enough to put it over the top and keep it going. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we're a couple days out from qualifying for the Best in the Desert Parker 425. What's your race preview look like, Robbie? So, are you know, you're qualifying. Do you know which laps you're running with Will, or, you know, you guys have that figured out yet?
Yeah, I think, well, the last I knew, Will said, as of the other day, he said he was going to have me go ahead and qualify, and then I think if you qualify, you have to start. So I'll run the first lap. Barry Caracas will be my co-driver, and we'll qualify the truck and hopefully do well there. And as you know, I'm not a big fan of qualifying. As a driver, I love it. As the guy that's got to write the checks for changing ring and pinions and transmissions the night before the race, I'm not a big fan of it, but it is what we have to do. So, but that's the plan right now is we'll qualify the truck and then start, which is not exactly what I wanted to do. I always told Sal the reason I race trophy trucks because we don't start till 10:30 in the morning, so I'm not really a morning person. So, but I've never had to start and go into that sun in the morning, so this will be a different experience for us. But we're excited about it. The numbers are up there. We've got some great names coming to race, and like the Mint, Casey has created the Parker 425 into an event and a must-do race that everybody comes to. So we're very, very excited about it and to be a part of it. So we'll be there. I'll bring the semi out probably Wednesday, do the qualifying on Thursday. We're really excited about the Pit Crew Challenge. I hope everybody comes out to watch that to give a little bit back to the town of Parker and show these everybody what professionals that we have as far as crews are concerned. You know, I called it yesterday the year of the crew, and I really think that we need to spotlight those guys. The time and the money that they give up and to volunteer their time away from their families is huge, and these guys take it serious and they practice. I know my crew is up in Hesperia practicing over the weekend, so I just think it's good to give back to those crews that support us and help us get around the track.
on, you know, when I was thinking about something and talking about the crews and you know, and how much, you know, how integral they are in desert racing to, you know, to winning races. But if you look at the Parker 425 last year, Jason Voss's crew won the Pit Crew Challenge. He turned around and won the Parker 425. Then we go to the Mint, and Bryce Menzies' crew won the Pit Crew Challenge at the Mint. Bryce turned around and won the Mint 400. So, I don't know if there's a theme of things, but you know, I can tell you I'm going to tell my crew you guys better win this Pit Crew Challenge, right?
Exactly. I was thinking I'll get off the phone and call my guys and tell them to get back to practice. And absolutely, if that's the formula, we definitely want to be a part of that. So, but I think it goes hand in hand, you know. It does that. The races, as we've seen over the years, with the one race between BJ and Rob Mack was, 7 seconds apart. So the races that we've seen have become a lot tighter. It's amazing that you can go for 400 miles or 500 miles and be separated by just seconds. But, you know, it does come down to that that pit stop a lot of the time. So the guys need to be practicing that. And I think for safety reasons, too, you know, of course, always go back to that. We'd like to see the guys, you know, wearing better gear, at least fire suits, and fuel guys wearing fueler helmets and splash aprons. And as we saw at the 1,000, things can go bad really fast. And for the best teams, we were just a pit or two away from Danny when that happened. And I have to tell you, we have the best equipment, the best crew, but down there in Mexico, when you're in the heat of the battle, you know, it could have just as easily happened at our pit as well. So everybody needs to be prepared and practice, especially the guys with these new pressurized fuel systems. The judgment's still out on those deals. I'm not real up on those, but if you're going to have one of those, man, you better be practicing, and everybody needs to know what to expect and how to use those properly, that's for sure.
Well, and I think, you know, that's the truth. You know, I think in motorsports, at least, you know, in desert racing, I think a lot of these guys, you know, there's so much out there to improve, you know, and you can just write a check and, you know, and have this equipment or have that. But I think a lot of times, you know, guys can write the check for it, but once they get it, they don't quite understand what they have.
Exactly. Well, I think that everybody asked me what would be the biggest thing that you would improve in off-road racing or in any motorsports. But for me, because my heart and soul is in desert racing, they always said, what's the biggest thing that you would change? And I said, it's just training. There's so many injuries that are caused just from lack of training or not being properly installed in the vehicle, the restraints being improperly installed or at the wrong angles, fuel systems, things like that. It's just training. And I think that's where we really need to improve and concentrate on that. I don't know if it's we think we know it all or we don't need to do that or it won't happen to us, but we really do need to go through the motions and train. I think that that would help things tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in today, Robbie. Hope you have a safe flight. And I guess here in a couple of days, we'll see you here in Parker for qualifying in the Pit Crew Challenge presented by Impact.
Thank you, and thanks for everything you do, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, that was Robbie Pierce with Impact Race Products, also Mastercraft Safety. He runs a trophy truck. Title sponsor of the Blue Water Resort and Casino Parker 425 presented by Impact. He's also a sponsor of the Napa Parker Pit Crew Challenge presented by Impact and the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So, you know, lots of great things. A guy that truly does give back to the sport off-road, you know, and motorsports in general, just behind the scenes. They invest and do so much and don't ask for a lot. So definitely, you know, if you can support Impact, do it. Follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Do some cool stuff coming out of them. And some of the best suits in the business, I can tell you. You know, I've got my new Impact suit awaiting delivery for the Parker 425, and I'll wear nothing else. So thanks again, Robbie Pierce, for calling in. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have the Dirtfish Rally Report, so stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show.
Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you are looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. you can spend anywhere from 2 hours to three intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose: to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally.
There's something really interesting going on across the country. People are making the switch from imports to Ford and telling us why.
I kind of was indifferent toward Ford, and then I sat in the Fusion for the first time, and I was just like, wow.
You got more with the Ford Escape for your money than you would have getting the CR-V.
So this time around, we were able to do some research, and we ended up getting the C-Max, which we love.
It's been a wonderful switch.
Make the switch for yourself. Visit your local Arizona Ford dealer today and lease a 2014 Fusion SE for $169 a month for 24 months. Just $169. Go online to yourlocalforddealers.com, then make the switch at your Arizona Ford dealers. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford Credit Red Carpet Lease. 2228 cash due at signing after $1,000 customer cash and $1,000 conquest cash. Available to current lessees of competitive vehicles with proof of ownership. Excludes tax, title, and license fees. Residency restrictions apply. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by February 3rd. See dealer for qualifications and details.
Leonardo da Vinci, man, inventor, genius. An unusual, unforgettable, extraordinary exhibition with 23 exact replicas of his masterpieces and 60 models of da Vinci's inventions, crafted by the Italian family trusted with da Vinci's living legacy for over two centuries. Now on exhibit through April 22nd, only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona. For more information, go to bluewaterfund.com/da Vinci or call 866-636-0171.
Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are HANS compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally. And that brings us to this week's edition of the Dirtfish Rally Report, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School up in Snoqualmie, Washington. Find them out on the web at dirtfishrally.com. All right, lots and lots of rally stuff. As we kick off this Dirtfish Rally Report, we're going to have a call-in from none other than Ray Piloto, Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup racer, here in just a few minutes. We've got some Rally America coverage we're going to get to. We've got some Global Rallycross news and some Travis Pastrana news. And just breaking, absolutely breaking as we speak on social media, some big news out of Alex Gelsomino. So we're going to get to that in just a few seconds, but it looks like we've got Ray Piloto calling in. All right, we're live with Ray Piloto. How's everything going, Ray?
Everything's going great, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing really well. It sounds like not as good as you. You had one heck of a 2013 campaign, it sounds like, in the Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup.
Yeah, it was actually quite amazing. It seemed too easy almost as we got towards the end of the year, you know, when I started looking back. I mean, we worked really hard through the year, not really thinking we're going to get to do as well as we did. So, you know, when you just kind of do things without expecting anything, it seems like it's a little easier that way sometimes. So it was cool.
Yeah, well, first off, how did you get involved in rally? I know it seems like everybody, you know, rally attracts, at least here in the States, you know, drivers from all walks of life. I mean, what grabbed you about rally, and how did, you know, how did you get involved in rallying here in the States?
Okay, 2005, I had the pleasure of going up to the mountains and watching Rim of the World when it was in California. And we just went up there, a bunch of buddies, hanging out. We were barbecuing, watching the cars go by, and as I started watching them go by, I realized that these guys were nuts. And these guys were just controlling the car at such high speeds, just doing something that looked, you know, like they were living on the edge of life. And so that's what kind of got me involved and excited about doing a rally.
Yeah, and how, you know, when did you make your debut? I mean, what did you debut in? I know, you know, now you're in either four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive class, which is, you know, kind of the elite level of competition. I mean, you know, where did you start out, or did you start out at the top level?
I started out in four-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive, but my first race was actually in July of 2012. I did the North Nevada Rally, which is a regional event in the CRS series, and that was kind of my first event. At that point, you know, I was totally hooked, you know. So from there, it was kind of just uphill, making sure I just finished the stages and just kept pushing and pushing my pace and getting faster as I, you know, as I did each race. So that's where it started. I've only been racing since July 2012.
Well, but your background, it looks like, I mean, you're a driving instructor at the Ron Fellows High Performance Driving School. I mean, how has that helped you with rallying?
That has helped me tremendously. I actually started here in April of this year, and in the first 4 months of being here, I could see how much faster I got on stage. I mean, I was just driving fast 5 days a week just changes the way you look at, you know, speed. So I just got faster, you know.
And how has the crossover been from you doing things like, you know, obviously road racing, you know, how does that transfer over to the rally side of things where, you know, it's a little bit, I'd say, less controlled?
It is less controlled. I mean, everything happens a little faster on the road racing stuff, but it all is interconnected. I really believe when you jump in all kinds of different cars and you just go and drive, and if you can drive those cars at the limit as fast as you can and, you know, try and maintain some kind of racing line, they're going to be fast no matter what you drive. So just keep driving other things. I feel like that's helped me being in all kinds of cars. Because I don't just teach the Corvette school. Well, I work with the Radicals here, the Cadillacs, and I do private stuff here too. So, yeah, it keeps me very busy. I'm always in different cars. And then being in the dirt doing races and rally, I mean, it just seems like it makes me faster and gets my car control up to par. So.
Yeah, you got to be one of the guys that I know there's a push between some people in, you know, in the rally community in the United States really want to see a full-blown tarmac rally here in the States. You got to definitely be one of the guys.
That would be amazing. I would love to see that. I would definitely be the first one to sign up for that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the awards you took home in 2013. It sounds like you took home quite a prize package from the Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup, I think, between Race Tech Seats and some various other companies.
Yeah, that was amazing. Denise does such an amazing job with that series. You know, I just feel honored to be able to run the series with her and, you know, work with her and stuff. So, yeah, it was amazing. The best battle was for the overall, though, because, you know, I'm driving an open light car, which is a naturally aspirated engine, and, you know, going up against all the four-wheel drive super production and open cars was really cool to kind of come up on top and just barely kind of make my way to first place, beating out King Wu Song. So that was pretty cool. That was probably the exciting part of the year. We came down to the last event, so.
Yeah, it was a heck of a battle. Now, talking about 2014, you know, what are the plans for this year? I know, you know, this weekend we've got, Snowdrift Rally. I know it's probably got to be kind of a bummer on your part knowing this rally's going on and you're not there, right?
It's a big bummer, yeah, and I have some friends there, of course, you know, doing those events, and I'm just not going to be able to make it to that event. We're trying to build a new car. I want to run the two-wheel drive class in the National Series, in that same series. I'm hoping to get something ready and maybe get a program together by the next rally of this, coming up in February. We'll try and see. I do know that I'm confirmed for doing the United States Touring Car Championship, which I'm actually really excited about, because I've never done any wheel-to-wheel racing, so that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I think that should be cool. I know, there's another driver, Jeffrey Sykes, who runs the Global Rallycross Light Series, and he crosses over back and forth. And I think,
he
says the road racing stuff really helps on the rally side of things.
I agree, and that's why I kind of feel like I'd love to get in the Global Rallycross. I think I do pretty good with both my backgrounds. So that's kind of the ultimate goal a little bit, is doing Global Rallycross. And then, of course, winning a national championship in the Rally America Series would be great also.
Yeah, for sure. I know I'm looking through the email that you sent me, and you'd also said you'd like to try your hand at off-road truck racing, too. So
if you got an extra truck, Jim, I'm in.
noted, all right?
Yeah.
So, congratulations on 2013. Sounds like you had a hell of a year, and looking forward to seeing how you can do in 2014.
Thank you very much. Me, too. It was really an honor to be on your show. This is really cool.
And before we let you go, anybody you want to thank, any sponsors, any particular people you want to give a shout-out to, and where can we find
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you for letting me on your show, and I'd like to thank Denise for, putting on the series. All my friends that have helped me, get up to par. I'd like to thank my sponsors for 2013 to help me get there, which was Project Move Brakes, Raised Wheels, Pierce Motorsports, H1 Performance. I'd like to thank all of them. Everyone had a hand in, getting me to win that championship. I couldn't have did it by myself, so I'm really thankful for everybody.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, Jim. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. That was Ray Piloto, Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup competitor, and great having him calling in. He had a great year last year in rally, and definitely kind of cool. He's got the crossover with the Ron Fellows School of High Performance Driving, so he gets tons of seat time, and kind of cool to see him improve year over year and see the improvements. And yeah, I think it'd be cool to see him in GRC at some point, maybe in a lights car or something like that. Very cool. So we're knee deep now in the Dirtfish Rally Report, and gotta tell you, we had Rally America over the weekend, but as we speak, we've got some huge news breaking via social media, and good thing I monitor this while we're on air, which is an apology to those of you that are on that try and get on the chat board each and every day or each and every week. The chat board is we're having problems with it, so it is not up and running. So if you got any questions, you want to hit me with anything, tag me on Twitter, and I'll be sure to answer it. I'm monitoring that during the show today. But speaking of Twitter, just now, Alex Gelsomino announced that he is doing four races in the Australian Rally Series as a co-rider for Richie Alton. So he's also going to be doing Rally America events with Ken Block. So those of you out there that are listening in thinking he's leaving Ken, he is not leaving Ken Block. But he is adding a few races in Australia with another driver. So I don't know. I think it's cool. Congrats goes out to Alex for putting this deal together. And it only benefits anybody he rides with. The more seat time he has with anybody is my opinion on it. So congrats goes out to Alex. That was literally breaking as we speak, and we were able to forward it on to you guys. But other rally news, Global Rallycross news, OMSE announced a driver's lineup for supercars in both Global Rallycross as well as the World Rallycross Championship Series. In GRC, they've got Patrick Sandell returning. Had a great year, Patrick did, in his rookie season in Global Rallycross. Great to see Patrick back in the saddle of the OMSC. I think he definitely this year could be one to push for a championship. I think he's that type of talent. He's got he's got a year under his belt now. Really think you could see him make a push for a top three this year in the series. And then Yanni Veeman, who just absolutely dominated the Global Rallycross Lights field this year, undefeated in Global Rallycross Lights competition. He's moving up to the big show, moving into the supercars with OMSE. So I think that tag team of OMSE, it's going to be exciting to see how they do. And, you know, I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, well, Tanner and Deegan and what happened to all these guys? And then you had, you know, Arpin and Scott Speed and everything else. I'm just telling you, this doesn't mean that this is the only two drivers OMSC is announcing. I think at this point in time, this is the only two drivers that they have to announce. So, yeah, it's not to say Tanner and Deegan and everybody else aren't in the series. I think you just need to hold tight. We got a lot of silly season left, you know, in the next couple of months before the GRC opener, and I think you know, definitely OMSC, they're not going to go from fielding, what was it, 7-8 cars at one point this year to fielding 2. So it's just not going to happen. Be prepared, there's going to be more announcements coming. On the same token though, they did announce two drivers for the World Rallycross Championship series over there in Europe. Andreas Backerud and Reynis Nittis, and Backerud, I believe, fourth in the championship last year. And then we have Reynis Nittis, who dominated the Super 1600 this year and ran, I believe, maybe one event in GRC Lights here stateside. But he was neat, you know. He was running for the championship in Europe, and so you know, he didn't get a chance to compete here as much as he liked. But he is inked to a supercar deal in World Rallycross Championship Series with OMSC. And they also announced that the Light Series is coming back for Global Rallycross, as well as the RX Series, which is World Rallycross Championship. So you're going to see Lights in both series. I think with the RX Series, it's 5 events. I'm thinking those are going to be probably European rounds, maybe not the overseas rounds. We'll have to see. But, yeah, so Lights in GRC and the ERC, WRX, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Lots of news coming out of Olsburg MSE. Before we get to that Travis Pastrana news, we're going to give you some Rally America coverage. Rally America kicking off at the Snowdrift Rally this weekend in Michigan. One of the most unique events of the year on the Rally America schedule, only because it's Snowdrift. I mean, it's nasty weather conditions really makes you bring your A game to compete at Snowdrift. So as we get into this, obviously Ken Block not competing. He is going to be running Rally America this year, select events, and Travis Pastrana not competing. Travis, obviously, with a broken leg, he should be at the next round coming up here in about a month. And Travis also finishing up the Nitro Circus Tour, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But congrats goes out to David Higgins and Craig Drew, the team of David Higgins, Craig Drew, taking the overall lead in the open class with a time of 2 hours, 28 minutes, 30 seconds. We've got second place going out to Antoine Leah Stage and Marshall Clark. I know it's a little odd to see Marshall Clark instead of Natalie Reichard in that co-pilot seat, but they're taking the second place finish, about 2 minutes back from Higgins. And then first place in Super Production, third place overall, the team of Lachlan O'Sullivan and Scott Putnam, with a great showing in that Super Production car. Second place in Super Production, fourth outright, went to Dylan Vanway and Andrew Edwards. Your fifth place finisher, which was third in the open class, went to Alexander Backlund. Sixth place outright, third in Super Production, went to the team of Nick Roberts and Rianne and Gelsominos. And congrats goes out to them. Re-Rally, you know, always welcome on the show, and congrats goes out to them and her new ride in the Rally America Championship. I tell you what, I don't know, the first family or rally, we'll call Alex and Rhiannon, or at least on the navigation side of things, man, they've got some big announcements. She's running, obviously, Rally America with Nick Roberts, and we've got Alex going to Australia and running over there with Richie Alton. Lots of exciting news. We got seventh outright and fourth in production went to the team of David Sturks and Karen Jankowski. Eighth place, and your first two-wheel drive winner went out to Matthew Johnson and Jeremy Wimpy. Ninth went to Adam Yemen and Jordan Schultz in an open class car. And rounding out your top 10 in a two-wheel drive car, Troy Miller and Jeremy Miller. And I got to say, you know, the one glaring thing to me on this entire top 10 at Rally America is the fact that the highest two-wheel drive car was down in eighth position. Now, I think that there's two reasons for that. You know, and I'm thinking back last year, and you got to look at the kind of the big picture. You know, we had Brendan Reeves and Rhiannon, and you know, they dominated the two-wheel drive class last year. You know, they just absolutely had a great year. You know, and they were pushing top fives with a two-wheel drive car with the Fiesta. And I think, you know, seeing the first two-wheel drive drop back to eighth position, I think there's two reasons for it. One, you know, it shows us how good of a driver Brendan Reeves is. I don't want to say was, because he's still competing. He's just not competing in Rally America this year. But I think it shows us how great of a driver Brendan Reeves is, you know, that he was able to push that two-wheel drive into the top five. Just, you know, remarkable, remarkable feat. And the second reason behind that, I think, is, we're looking at the Snowdrift Rally. Let's face it, the two-wheel drive cars at a distinct disadvantage from the all-wheel drive machines at Snowdrift. But, you know, the theme of things is, as the Rally America series moves on, it's going to be interesting to see how high those two-wheel drives can get. Obviously, ACP, he's in a Fiesta R2 this year, and I think obviously he didn't have a great showing this event, but I think that ACP, he's going to be able to push. He could potentially take a top five in a two-wheel drive car, but it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the course of this year in Rally America, and to see if anybody can get those results that Brendan Reeves did in the two-wheel drive car. You know, I think obviously Brendan, just a great, great talent. Some tough shoes to fill, but it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of this year. So, that's your Rally America Snowdrift coverage. We'll have full coverage of the Rally America series this year on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. And Travis Pastrana News, I told you we were going to break a little bit of Travis Pastrana News, and we are going to do that. Obviously, you all know the big Travis Pastrana announcement. He's going back to Rally America with Subaru this year. We all know that. We know he's running in Global Rallycross at the X Games. My guess is he's going to add a few other events trickled in as well. We all know that. We know that he said he's going to do some off-road truck racing. And I got to tell you, when he said off-road truck racing, he didn't specify. Now, I had a chance at Nitro Circus to go backstage afterwards, and we're going to talk about that as soon as the Dirtfish Rally Report is over. But Travis told me, yes, he's going to run, the Pro 2 a little bit, with Bryce, whether that be Torque, Lucas. I don't know at this point. I'm assuming Lucas. But Travis did tell me he's going trophy truck racing this year. That's right. Travis Pastrana is going to be teaming with Bryce Menzies at the Mint 400, as well as the Baja 1000. So Travis Pastrana back in a trophy truck this year. We're going to see him at the Mint, and we're going to see him at the 1000. Talk about some big news. I'm stoked to have Travis back in the desert. Just awesome, awesome news for you off-road racing fans. That's for darn sure. That's very, very cool. So, Travis Pastrana back in the desert. Also going to be running short course, going to be running Rally America, going to be running Global Rallycross. For a guy that's taking a year off or is scaling things back, I tell you what, he's sure pretty busy, especially with the Nitro Circus schedule. But anytime we see Travis Pastrana in a race car, it is a good day. So, that is your Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, brought to you by our friends at Dirtfish Rally in Snoqualmie, Washington. Check them out on the web at dirtfish.com. Get your reservations, go up there, and slay some tires in one of their Subaru rally cars. I think you'll have the time of your life. It's dirtfishrally.com. All right, we're going to take another short break. We come back, we're going to have some Nitro Circus talk, some Supercross talk, some X Games talk, and we're going to talk a little bit about a new ride that Ken Block debuted pretty much right after our show last week. So should be pretty exciting to round out this edition of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Thanks for staying tuned. We'll be back.
very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Hans compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
There's something really interesting going on across the country. People are making the switch from imports to Ford and telling us why.
I kind of was indifferent toward Ford, and then I sat in the Fusion for the first time, and I was just like, wow.
You got more with the Ford Escape for your money than you would have getting the CR-V.
So this time around, we were able to do some research, and we ended up getting the C-Max, which we loved.
It's been a wonderful switch.
Make the switch for yourself. Visit your local Arizona Ford dealer today and lease a 2014 Fusion SE for $169 a month for 24 months. Just $169. Go online to yourlocalforddealers.com, then make the switch at your Arizona Ford dealers. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford Credit Red Carpet Lease. $22.28 cash due at signing after $1,000 customer cash and $1,000 conquest cash. Available to current lessees of competitive vehicles with proof of ownership. Excludes tax, title, and license fees. Residency restrictions apply. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by February 3rd. See dealer for qualifications and details.
The Ford F-Series has dominated the market for 37 straight years as the best-selling truck in America. Now, and only at Parker Motor Company, we are extending a very special offer to our customers. Until February 28th, all 2013 Ford F-150s and Super Duties sitting on our lot can be bought for $500 under dealer cost. Plus, you'll get to keep the rebate. Come help us celebrate Ford F-Series domination and see why we are the number one dealer on the river, only at Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you are looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. You can spend anywhere from 2 hours to three intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose, to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally. Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally. Man, talk about a show we've had thus far. We've had a lot of Dirtfish Rally Report. We've had some talk with Robbie Pierce, rally racer Ray Piloto, and some Travis Pastrana news, some GRC news, some Alex Gelsomino news. Man, we're rocking it. But I do want to mention that as we speak, we mentioned Natalie Reichard over the break, and or you know, in the Dirtfish Rally Report, and she made the announcement via social media. I got to tell you, when we're on air, it's becoming more and more crucial. I'm following social media that she's going to be back in the co-pilot seat in a blue Subaru in the Canadian Rally Series this coming weekend. So she hasn't gone anywhere. She's still out there. She's still rallying. She's still calling out pace notes, and glad to see her. You know, obviously she's just a talented navigator. I mean, you know, her list of championships is second to none from the passenger seat. So great to see her back and still rallying, and congrats goes out to her on the new gig. So yeah, as we went to break, said we're going to talk a little bit of Nitro Circus, and I got to tell you, I had the opportunity to go to Nitro Circus in Phoenix, had some great seats right up front, and talk about an amazing show. For those of you that haven't been to Nitro Circus before, you know, obviously you've seen the TV shows, you've seen the movie, you know, it doesn't do it justice. The YouTube videos online you see on Nitro Circus Live, none of it does it any justice. You seriously, you know, the U.S. tour is over now. When it comes back, I think they said probably it won't be until 2015 again. You have to absolutely go to one of these events. It's mind blowing the talent level that that these people have. I mean, it's just you know, it's like I was, you know, Jolene, she invited us backstage afterwards. We're talking, and she stomped like 20 some straight backflips. These guys on the BMX bikes and you know, and on the motorcycles, they're doing stuff that they're winning, you know, they're winning X Games best trick with, and they're doing it on a nightly basis and landing it. I mean, I can probably, you know, count the amount of crashes we saw on one hand during the entire event. It's it really is just crazy. They're so talented and they stick everything. Just talk about the training they have. It's amazing. And then, you know, they throw in the silliness with it, you know, and jumping recliners off the mega ramp, and you know, it's definitely worth the price of admission. I, you know, encourage any and all of you to go. And as you saw yesterday, you know, I'm throwing it up, we'll have it on the trophy truck here at the next race, the hashtag Smile4BC. Bruce Cook, obviously earlier in the North American Tour, crashed trying to be one of the first to ever land a double front flip on a motorcycle. And you know, he's out of action. All the Nitro crew run Smile for BC shirts, hashtag Smile for BC, using that hashtag. I'm going to start using it through the next week, through the event. I challenge all of you posting stuff online. If you're doing a selfie, if you've got a picture of yourself smiling, use the hashtag Smile for BC. Throw it out there for Bruce Cook. You know, he's recovering from a crazy crash, a crazy injury, and the guy's got a smile on his face, and he's working hard to come back. So I challenge all of you to use the hashtag Smile4BC. And yeah, man, talk about just an awesome event there at Nitro Phoenix, and going backstage with the crew and getting to talk with Travis and Lindsay, and you know, obviously Wheels. Talk about an inspiration. You know, talking with him and Chad Kagi and if she's listening, I know she's finally got a day off. But Jolene, thanks for having us backstage and taking the time with me. And Addie absolutely loved it. She's ready to become a Nitro roadie. So, yeah, great time with the Nitro Circus. But speaking of motorcycles, we're going to get into some Supercross coverage, because Supercross was live from Oakland. And, man, this is talk about a crazy battle we've had in Supercross this year. It's been absolutely I can't even say, you know, I've watched Supercross since I was a kid, since it was called like Camel Supercross. And, you know, it's never seen battles like this. It's just crazy. So a big shout out, starting off with the 250s, Dean Wilson, your leader on the last lap, Jason Anderson, it's becoming his trademark, I guess, these last lap passes, but Jason Anderson ends up taking the win on the last lap away from Dean Wilson. So your winner, Jason Anderson, followed up by Dean Wilson. Third place went to Justin Hill. Cole Seeley in fourth, Zach Osborne fifth, Michael Lieb in sixth, Jesse Nelson seventh, Shane McElrath in eighth, Cooper Webb ninth, and Dean Ferris rounding out your top 10, which leaves your 250 Supercross point standings. As of now, we're talking about Supercross West. We haven't even got into East, and we're going to be kicking off the East here in about 2 weeks. But your 250 West, Jason Anderson, your current leader. We got Cole Seeley in second, 93-87. They've got a pretty good battle going on there. We got Dean Wilson in third with 72, Zach Osborne fourth with 69, and Cooper Webb in fifth with 65 points. So Malcolm Stewart had a pretty good year this year so far. Obviously, Oakland not treating him really well, but it's definitely been a pretty decent season for him. He's sitting down there in seventh place, so we'll see if he can rebound. I don't think that seventh in the standings is really showing you how well he's ridden this year, because he's definitely been on his game. Moving up to the 450s again, and it was all Ryan Villopoto. He took the win, he's back on top of the box. What can you say? Ryan Villopoto taking the win once again. James Stewart in second. I got to tell you, James Bubba Stewart, this guy, what has gotten into him this year? He is riding possessed. Passing everybody, and we're not talking, guys in the back. I mean, we're talking Dungy, Chad Reed, James Bubba Stewart finishing in second. And I got to tell you that he earned it. He is on fire this year. We haven't seen Bubba Stewart ride this good in I don't know, in years. I'm excited for it. And then Chad Reed in third place, Reedy. I mean, he's Mr. CR22. He's having a great year, and great to see him back. And then you got Dungy, who's Mr. Consistent, finishing up in fourth, and he's having a good year. Brayton in fifth, Kenny Roczen finishing in sixth. And what can we say about Roczen? Nobody saw this coming. Everybody knew Roczen was fast, but we never saw Roczen going to be top three in points this far into the year. I mean, it just winning right out of the box, it's just great, Cinderella story for Kenny Roczen. Justin Barsha in seventh, Will Hahn eighth, Jake Weimer ninth, and Andrew Short rounding out your top 10. Which brings us to our 450 class point standings. We got Ryan Villopoto up there in the number one spot, but Chad Reed keeping it close with 77 points to Villopoto's 84. This isn't a runaway by any means like we've seen in typical Ryan Villopodium fashion. You like how I slid that Villa podium in there, didn't you? But Ryan Villopoto fashion. I mean, he's got some competition this year. Chad Reed in second with 77, Kenny Roczen with 75 in third. Tied for third is Ryan Dungy with 75 points. We got Brayton in fifth with 71, and we got Bubba Stewart in sixth with 66. And I got to tell you, as we said before, that is no indication of how Bubba Stewart is riding this year. James Stewart, he's on a mission. He's possessed. Obviously, it goes back. We saw the crazy get off he had a couple of weeks ago and ended up DNF in that main, and that is really why he's sitting that far back. He'd definitely be top three in points if it wasn't for that, but he is just having a good year. I can't say enough about him. Justin Barsha in seventh, Andrew Short eighth, Will Hahn in ninth, and Jake Weimer rounding out your top 10. And, man, it has been a great year for Supercross. It's got me hooked. It definitely has me hooked. And those of you that guess out in the Southwest aren't going out to the Best in the Desert Parker 425. You got Anaheim Round 3 coming up this weekend, so you're going to want to make your way out to Anaheim. If you're not out at the Best of the Desert Parker 425 kicking off desert racing season, got to say too, this TV package they've got for Supercross this year is great. Don't forget, not only are all the races aired live, but they've got a re-air every single event. So if you miss it live, you can always catch the re-air on Fox Sports 2. But it's Supercross this year. It's awesome. And we haven't even kicked off 250 East yet. That's what's crazy about this. We haven't even kicked off the 250 East East Series. That's still coming. So, 250 East still in transit, so to speak. We haven't even kicked that series off. But 250 West, It's just wild, man. Supercross is great this year. I'm excited. If you can tell through the radio waves here, I got a smile from ear to ear. I'm smiling for BC. The other big one over the weekend, we had Aspen X Games 2014 kicking off. You know, obviously we had multiple Winter X's last year. We're going down to one this year. Multiple Summer X's last year. We're going down to one in Austin this year. So Aspen and Austin, your two big ones. And we kicked it off Thursday night with snowmobile freestyle. And if you remember, Levi Labolle pulling the plug on his freestyle run. I couldn't get any extension on his tricks because of his shoulder. He was still good to race and do long jump, but he couldn't get the extension, thought he was going to ruin his shoulder again. And so he made the wise decision to pull the plug on his freestyle efforts. But Colton Moore taking home the gold with a combined total of 91.33 points. Joe Parsons in second. Heath Frisbee in third. So your medals go out to gold to Colton Moore, silver to Joe Parsons, and bronze to Heath Frisbee. Moving on to the next event that actually had an engine in it, we had snowmobile long jump. And I got to tell you, you know, looking through this, you know, they had round one, round two, round three, round four, round five. It was all by Lavalle. He, you know, there wasn't a point in time where he was ever in, jeopardy of, you know, not winning a gold. I mean, it's just crazy. And it is much for the last round that Corey Davis, brought his A game. Levi just trumped everything. So your medalists in snowmobile long jump, gosh, I hope they bring this back for next year. And would it be cool if they brought long jump to Summer X with motorcycles? Yeah, that's a thought there. But anyways, Levi Lavalle taking home the gold with a distance of 147.5 feet. We had Corey Davis in second, 142 feet and 11 inches. And your third place bronze medal finisher was Colton Moore with a distance of 132 feet, 11 inches. So, it was all Levi Lavalle. How many X Games in a row has Levi won a gold medal? I'm going to have to pull that up. But I got to tell you, Levi, he's had a lot of golds in a row. I don't know. I'm trying to guesstimate what I think, how many I think he would have won, but I don't even want to attempt it. But anyway, Snowcross Adaptive. Always love that they throw Adaptive Snowcross in there. That's for guys that, obviously you can look it up. But anyways, Mike Schultz taking home the win in Snowcross Adaptive, followed by Garrett Goodwin in second and Doug Henry in third place. So gold, Mike Schultz, Garrett Goodwin in second with a silver, and Doug Henry with the bronze medal in Snowcross Adaptive, which brings us to the one you've all been waiting for, Snowmobile Snowcross Final. And it was all about, could Tucker Hibbert keep the streak alive? And we're not talking a streak of wins in snowcross competition, because God knows how long it's been since he lost sometime last year. But this was about his X game streak. He had six in a row. Could he get the seven-peat? Well, I got to tell you, he did, and he absolutely dominated. Tucker Hibbert taking home the gold seven times in a row in X Games. 12 minutes, 27 seconds. Second place, Cody Cam with the silver, was 12 minutes, 41 seconds. So, I mean, that's a huge margin from Tucker to Cody. And then Justin Broberg in third, pretty close to Cody Cam with the bronze medal, only about 2 seconds back. So your medalists in snowmobile snowcross, Tucker Hibbert taking the win, Cody Cam second, Justin Broberg third, Tim Trimbley in fourth, Kyle Palin in fifth, Darren Mees sixth, Adam Reinheim in seventh, Peter Narsa in eighth, Johan Lidman in ninth, and David Jonas routing out your top 10 in snowcross. So, I got to tell you, interesting note, Levi Lavalle not qualifying for the final. So it got to be tough for Levi, but he did take home the gold in long jump. So, it's Man, it's been a great X Games, man. It was, you know, I'm still catching up on a lot of the events in, you know, on the DVR. But Tucker Hibbert, 7 in a row. That's like winning 7 Indy 500s in a row, 7 Daytona 500s in a row, 7 Baja 1000s in a row. I mean, X Games is X Games. It's the elite pinnacle marquee event for snowcross. And, you know, he just keeps on dominating. It's just absolutely insane. You know, and we're talking, you know, not only with that, but, you know, Tucker Hibbert with the, you know, he's doing it in the regular series as well. I mean, he's just not being beat. You want to talk, you know, being on another level. And Tucker Hibbert is that guy right now in any motorsport. I don't know anybody that's even close to having – being on another level. I mean, you know, we've seen it out of Villopoto in the past, but, you know, in Supercross, but, you know, he's been brought back to earth this year. But Tucker Hibbert, it's just, you know, it was always, you know, if, you know, it wasn't if, it was when he's going to be brought back to earth. At this point, I'm saying if. I don't know. I don't know who can catch him. And, you know, like we had Scott Wren on air, you know, a while back, and he was saying, you know, these other guys are definitely you know, racing against Tucker with their elbows out a little bit more, you know, so to speak. They're racing him rough, but when you get the hole shot and you get out front out of the gate, I mean, there's nothing that anybody can do about it. He's just that good. It's insane how well he's been riding the past couple of years in 7 straight X Games in a row. I don't know. Is it time for Blair Morgan to come out of retirement? I don't know. I mean, you know, Tucker just took Blair's record. Is it time for Blair to come out of retirement? I don't know. It's just lots to talk about in snowcross right now. That's for sure. Lots to talk about, and it all surrounds Tucker Hibbert. But anyways, that wraps up X Games. So your next X Games is going to be Austin, Texas this summer. So, you know, we'll have full coverage of that, full news as things get released around Austin. But that's going to be your next X Games event for you X Games fans. But good news is for you snowmobile fans, ISOC, they're still racing. And we've got another event coming up, you know, in about a week. So, yeah, it's, man, it was a wild X Games, that's for sure. And even wilder, as we went to, you know, as we went off air, you know, Ken Block made his big announcement at the beginning of last week, his new ride. And I got to tell you, have you seen this Ford Raptor of Ken Block's with the Max Tracks on it? It's just insane. You know, this thing had, I got to say, had rigid lights on it, had some rigid Industries lights, had King shocks, but took a Raptor and basically put snowmobile tracks all the way around it. And, you know, he's been cruising that thing around, snow slaying, as he likes to say, and he had it up there at Aspen at the X Games. You know, it's just a wild, wild machine. And, you know, you got to leave it to Ken Block because, you know, Ken always likes to go over the top with, you know, with anything he does and his vehicles and everything else. And this, I got to say, it's probably, you know, it probably takes the cake. That's the easiest. It's the easiest way to put it right now. It's just wild. I don't even know how to explain this thing, but it is the ultimate backcountry rig. You know, it's not all show and no go. This thing, you know, it's got the tracks and stuff like that, but it's for a purpose. He's got the rear of the thing has seats in it around a roll cage. It's got snowmobile racks and it's got snowmobile racks on it, and it's, you know, and it's meant basically that you can take this thing and, you know, whereas before maybe you needed a helicopter to fly in or a, you know, snowmobile to take you. Now, you know, you go to these backcountry, you know, snowboarding spots, and you can do it in comfort. I mean, you've got Sirius satellite radio, heated seats. You know, it's, you know, it's makes, you know, it's basically making, making things that you had to take a helicopter or a snowmobile to that much more accessible. It's, you know, to me, it's just awesome. I'd love to wheel that thing. It's, It's just crazy. You need to check out the pictures. Obviously, it's all over Ken Block's feed. You know, it's all over social media at this point. I think most of the auto blogs and stuff like that have picked it up and picked up coverage of it. But yeah, check it out. Let me know what you think. It's pretty wild creation. So yeah, you definitely want to check that out and let me know what you think and let me tell me what you would do with it. Hit me up on Twitter at JimBeaver15. Tell me what you'd do with Ken Block's new MaxTrax rig. I want to know. I want to know what you'd do because I don't know. It's wild. So yeah. Moving on with things, I could talk about Ken Block's new rig all day long because it's that cool. But yeah, we're going to talk Best of the Desert Parker 425. We're going to kind of break down this race a little bit and let you know what's going to be happening this weekend. We got the full schedule. I got to tell you, it's kicking off this Thursday. We've got qualifying Thursday morning, and then following up qualifying, we've got the downtown experience in downtown Parker, meet and greet with the trophy truck drivers. And then following that up, we've got the Pit Crew Challenge, the Napa Pit Crew Challenge presented by Impact and the Down and Dirty Radio Show. It's going off 5:30 Mountain Time. That'll be 4:30 Pacific on RaceDesert.com. We're streaming it live on RaceDesert.com. I will be your host. So if you don't get enough of me on Mondays, you're going to have to put up with me on Thursday as well. But you want to tune in. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have the best crews in the business going head-to-head live on RaceDesert.com. It's a great event, and like I told Robbie Pierce, you know, last year Jason Voss won the Pit Crew Challenge, won the Parker 425. Bryce Menzies won the Pit Crew Challenge, won the Mint 400. You know, it's kind of the little telltale sign right now of what's going to happen in these events. You know, I don't know. Is the streak going to continue? We'll have to see, but definitely worth tuning into. That'll be 4:30 Pacific time on RaceDesert.com. We'll be streaming it live on Thursday. Hopefully we'll be able to announce a little bit of qualifying results as well. But, yeah, we're going to be streaming that all live on Thursday on RaceDesert.com. Then we've got Contingency Friday, and we've got the race on Saturday. And your home for all things Parker 425 is going to be RaceDesert.com. I got to tell you, I'm bringing in my own publicist, my own media person to help cover me during the race. I got a whole lot going on, so you're going to want to stay tuned to my social media at JimBeaver15 on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/DownAndDirtyShow, and you'll be able to get all my information. But getting to the race, getting to this entry list, I got to tell you, this is probably one of the biggest entry lists I've ever seen for a desert race with the caliber of talent. The only guy missing from this is Bryce Menzies. We've got Jason Voss, myself, Cameron Steele, Tim Herbst, the Vedosilis coming from Mexico to run in the States. It's been a long time since that's happened, and the Vedosilis are going to be running. We got Todd Romano in the Tonka truck. We've got Steve Ologist, Jonathan Swift, their team. We've got Sean Kroll, Will Statz and Robbie Pierce. We got Troy Vest in that beautiful new Jimco truck. Adam Lund, Craig Potts. We've got the new green truck that Camberg built. We've got the Supercross.com truck. They're entered in this event. We've got going down, we've got Dale Dondell from Racer Engineering. He's entered. TJ Flores, man, he's always fast. We've got the Weyrich brothers. We've got Troy Herbst and Ryan Arciero. We've got Tim Herbst and Larry Rosler. We've got Steve Strobel. We've got Scott Whipple. It's wild, man. And not only that, but if you didn't know, I can confirm this. We got BJ Baldwin. He's going to be running the event. We've got all the names running at the Parker 425 in the Unlimited Trophy Truck Trick Truck class. So if if there was ever a reason to come out to Parker this weekend, it is it's now. It's going to be a great event. It's a tough course, just a brutally tough course. We start off early in the morning, and I got to tell you, from a driver's standpoint, I hate it. The first 45 miles of the course is into the blinding daylight sun. As the sun's coming up, it's peeking up over the mountains. We're glaring directly into it, mixing the dust, and you're blind for the first 45 miles of the course until you make that right-hand corner and head to Midway. And those of you looking at your maps will know what I'm talking about. It's just blinding dust, and it makes it so tough. There's so many guys that ruin their race in the first 50 miles because they can't see and they overdrive, and then, you know, you sort everything out, and you've got who's left, and then you've got three laps of 135 miles of an absolutely grueling course. You've got some high-speed graded roads where we're going to hit 130 miles an hour in our trophy trucks, and then you've got just a nasty section called the Jeep Trail, and it is exactly what it says. You're crawling over rocks. It's one of the most dynamic desert racing events anywhere on the planet, and it's coming up this weekend, the Best in the Desert Parker 425. You're going to want to watch racedesert.com for all the information about it. It's going to be off the hook. Not only that, but the field of Class 1500 cars, the unlimited open-wheel cars, I got to say it's going to be exciting to see Mikey Childress back in the open-wheel ranks. We've got the Hengevelds, Steve and Joe Hengeveld. They're going to be running. We've got C.J. Hutchins, my General Tire teammate, he's going to be running. It's going to be a wild, wild event. We've got Ray Griffith. We've got the Boyles. It's Andrew Myers. It's Harley Lettner, another General Tire driver. Brian Folks, he's jumping up the ranks into a Ford Power General Tire car. It's going to be great. It's absolutely going to be an enormous event. The Class 10 field, probably one of the biggest I've ever seen. It's the 7200s. They've got their side bet going. And those of you that aren't desert racing nerds like I am, you don't know what I'm talking about. Check out Best of the Desert. Check out racedesert.com. You'll get all the information. But it's going to be a great, great event. You definitely want to stay tuned to racedesert.com. And those of you that are tuning in that are trophy truck drivers, let me tell you, we got some opening spots in the Parker Pit Crew Challenge. So hit me up with those, and we'll get you involved. But next week on air, we're going to have Ryan Arciero. He's going to be calling in next week talking about the Parker 425. We'll probably talk a little Dakar with Ryan Arciero and find out what he's had going on and. Probably what happened to his teammate Mark Miller. You know, I know obviously Ryan's run Dakar in the past. We'll get his feelings on Dakar. We'll talk a little bit of Mark Miller. Talk about his teaming up with the Herbs. We'll talk about that Volkswagen Trophy truck he's bringing back. Lots to talk about with Ryan Arciero. Like I said, we're going to try and get Nick Baumgartner on air at some point. I can tell you right now, I talked with Street Bike Tommy over the weekend, and Street Bike Tommy is going to make his Down and Dirty radio show debut hopefully sometime in the next month. So Street Bike Tommy will be on air at some point. That's exciting. If anything gets you excited, it's Street Bike Tommy. I got to tell you, that guy is legit. He's probably one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. If you're a fan of him from the TV shows, take him from somebody who's met him in person and spent a little bit of time with him. The guy is just a cool dude. I mean, he's legit. He's just a nice guy. I mean, you know, he's as fun as he is on TV. Let's put it that way. So upcoming events, obviously Parker 425 this weekend. We've got World Rally Championship coming up. We've got King of the Hammers, man. And we haven't even talked about King of the Hammers yet. One of the biggest events of the year coming up, and we'll have full coverage of King of the Hammers. We've got Supercross. We've got some UTV racing. We've got another Rally America event coming up, and lots of global rallycross news breaking. And don't forget, February 6th, Michael Andretti. The Andretti GRC team, the Andretti Volkswagen GRC team, they are announcing their driver's lineup at the Chicago Auto Show on February 6th. You're going to be wanting to watch the Andretti feed, the Global Rallycross feed, because I tell you what, I've got my suspicions on who they're going to announce their drivers, and I tell you what, it's going to be absolutely absolutely huge. So you're going to be want to stay tuned for that. Got to give a big thanks to Rigid Industries, Fish Rally School, the Arizona Ford Dealers, UPR.com, Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out that Da Vinci exhibit, Racetech USA, Speed Energy, and a big shout out goes out to Robbie Pierce and Ray Piloto for calling. And, man, thank you guys. I got a big week ahead of me. We got an autograph session Wednesday, followed up by qualifying downtown experience and some pit crew challenge contingency, a race. I'm going to be slammed, so definitely follow me on Facebook. Facebook.com/DownAndDirtyShow and at JimBeaver15 on Instagram and Twitter for all my updates. And tune into RaceDesert.com 4:30 p.m. Pacific on Thursday. I'll be hosting the live stream from the Pit Crew Challenge. Take it easy. Have a great week. And it's been an awesome Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirt Fish Rally. We'll see you next week.